Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to go over some things that you need to be aware of as the pool season starts. And I'll give you some tips on how to start the season right in this coming year when you go to open your pool, or if you're in an area where you don't close your pools. Once the temperature starts heating up, you're going to start to use your pool. So I'll go over some tips to get everything ready for the swim season. Leslie's Pool Supplies is a proud partner of the Pool Guy Podcast Show. Leslie's Pool Supplies has been do-it-yourselfers and pool trade professionals' trusted partner since 1963, providing quality products and services to make pool care easy and solutions and expertise to do it right. So in my area, we don't close our pools off in the winter. However, you really can't use your pool until probably, I would say, mid-April is when the weather starts to heat up in my area, and also the water temperature. I just checked my pool. The temperature is still about 60 degrees. So it is pretty cool still. I'm not going to be swimming in that water for sure. But as things start to heat up, or when the season starts in most areas, I think April and May is probably the areas where most of the pools will be opened up, or you'll notice your pool again basically in that time. You'll have to get everything ready for the season. So here are a few tips to get your pool ready for the upcoming swim season, so that you can actually start it off on the right foot and not run into all these major problems with algae, water quality issues, flow issues, and things like that. So I'm going to cover a lot of these details in this podcast here for you. So this may sound pretty basic, but of course, these are the steps you need to take. And the first step is to make sure that your pool equipment is running properly, and that you take it out of the winter runtime mode. So if you're in the West Coast, you have set your timer down for the winter months. Now is the time to crank up your timer to get the pool running for the appropriate amount of time to avoid water quality issues. So the first thing you want to do is make sure that, of course, everything is running correctly, your pump is running well, the filtration is good. And at this time, I usually do all my filters for my service route in March to get ready for the season. So if you haven't cleaned your DE filter or cartridge filter yet, now is the time to clean it. And while you're doing that, you definitely want to inspect it for any damage to the DE grids or to the cartridges. If the cartridges are getting old, now is the time to replace them before the pool season starts to get off on the right foot. So make sure everything is running the appropriate amount of time for the season. And then you want to make sure that your filter is in good working order to start the season. It's not a bad idea to upgrade to a new pump at this time if you need one, or even a new filter to start the season. Again, definitely get new elements for the cartridge filter and DE filter if you need them. But this is also a good time to upgrade as you start the season. If your equipment is substandard or if you're having problems, now is the time to address that before the weather starts heating up. Because if your pool's not running effectively, once the temperature starts to rise in most areas of the country, you'll notice a big drop in the water quality. The pool's going to get cloudy. You could get algae developing. And then you'll just have all kinds of problems as you're fighting this during the season. So you want to start it off correctly so you don't have to fight all these issues later on. And so if you have a saltwater system, don't be surprised that the salt level reading has been a little bit off in the wintertime. Typically, I don't add salt to a pool until about mid-April at the beginning of the season to make sure that the water temperature is not interfering with the salt reading. The salt system doesn't work really well in cold water, so it may not be giving you the accurate reading at this point. So I wouldn't go out and buy salt and add it to the pool. I would first wait for the water temperature to heat up, and then you can check the salt. You can either take it to your local pool store, or use a digital tester, or if you have an automated system, it should tell you the salt level but you may not be able to trust that 100% at the very beginning of the season. So it's always good to have some kind of method to test your salt if you have a saltwater pool before you add salt in there, because you can overdo it sometimes. If the salt system is reading low salt, for instance, and you're adding salt when you don't need it, that could cause all kinds of problems, and you may have to drain the water to lower the salt down later. So you definitely want to make sure the saltwater system is working correctly with the right salt level or salinity reading from your system. And again, that's typically mid-April, beginning of May, when your saltwater systems will start to activate. You're going to check that, make sure the salt cell is clean, that the plates are free of calcium buildup, and then you want to make sure everything is running before the season. Because again, if you start off and your pool has problems, chances are you're going to carry that through the whole season and be fighting it through most of the season. And depending on your region, if you get a lot of rain in your area, you definitely may have the salt level diluted from the rain. And then what goes in with that also is your pool cyanuric acid level or conditioner level, and we abbreviate in the industry with CYA. And so you want to make sure you have the proper amount of cyanuric acid in the pool at the start of the season to protect your water, even with a saltwater pool, but for a standard pool especially. So a lot of times the pool service company will check your conditioner level right around April, the beginning of April, and will make sure that the cyanuric acid level is correct in your pool. Now, if you've been using tablets all summer long and you didn't get a lot of rain, your cyanuric acid level may not have dropped much at all. But if you are using tablets sparingly, your cyanuric acid level may have dropped down below 30 parts per million. So ideally, you want to have 30 to 50 parts per million of cyanuric acid in your pool water at the beginning of the season. If it's really low, maybe 10 or 20 parts per million of the cyanuric acid in there, this could cause a problem with it holding chlorine during the season, so you want to make sure you have the right level of the cyanuric acid in there. Now, if you test the cyanuric acid in your pool and you notice that it's like 150 or 200, and that's a good indicator that you probably use too many tablets in the summer, and maybe in your region there's not a lot of rain to dilute the water, because the cyanuric acid doesn't actually evaporate out of the pool. And so the only way to get rid of it is with the diluting it when you fill the pool from evaporation. You're adding fresh water, which will eventually dilute out the cyanuric acid. But if it's really high, 150, 200, around that area, you'll have to do a partial drain. And I recommend doing this before the season starts. This will definitely help you to stop, to not have any major problems with the water quality in the season. So if you do a partial drain or even a full drain to lower down the cyanuric acid level in your pool, I definitely recommend doing that at the beginning of the season. That way you're not going to have problems maintaining the pools. Because what happens if you have very high cyanuric acid levels in your pool to start the season? You're going to be adding more tablets, of course, if that's your method of pool care, which is going to raise the cyanuric acid level even higher. And very high cyanuric acid levels make the chlorine a lot less effective. And so you'll have algae blooms. You'll have other kind of issues with the pool because of that fact. And you're going to have to keep a higher chlorine level in your pool with the higher cyanuric acid level. And so to avoid all of this, definitely check your cyanuric acid level at the beginning of the season. If it's below 30 parts per million, you want to raise it up to that, to 50 parts per million. Some recommend 80 parts per million in a saltwater pool, and I've done a podcast on that in more detail. But definitely you want to have 30 to 50 parts per million at the minimum, and then at the maximum, 100 parts per million. If your cyanuric acid level is above that, you definitely want to do a partial drain or a full drain. So depending on how big your pool is and what the level is would be, will allow you to determine how much water to drain to lower it down. If you have an average-sized pool, typically draining your pool 2 or 3 feet around the whole perimeter is enough to lower the cyanuric acid level down, unless it's really crazy high. But typically we'll drain the pool down 2 or 3 feet, fill it with fresh water, and that pretty much dilutes it down to where it's a reasonable level. And so both very low cyanuric acid level and very high cyanuric acid levels in your pool were really affected as you start the season, And so that needs to be addressed as soon as you can before the water temperature or the air temperature or the outdoor temperature starts heating up, and then all kinds of problems will start to develop with your pool. And you'll notice it right away if your pool has high cyanuric acid and the season starts. You could have some algae that's hard to get rid of because of the high cyanuric acid level in the pool, and it'll just make taking care of your pool much more difficult in the new season. So address that right away. And in order to avoid having very high cyanuric acid levels in your pool, you want to reduce the use of tablets in your pool. So you don't want to overuse the tablets, because about half of each 3-inch chlorine tablet is cyanuric acid. And so if you're using a 50-pound bucket during the season for your pool, you're adding 25 pounds, roughly, of cyanuric acid to the pool, which in most cases would be way too much cyanuric acid for your pool. And so one way to avoid that is to use tablets, but also use liquid chlorine or Cal-Hypo to supplement the chlorine, the tablet use, so that you don't have to use too many tablets in the pool. One thing that I do on my route to avoid overusing the tablets, it's kind of a necessary evil in the pool service business, because you can't check the water and add liquid chlorine every 2 or 3 days like a homeowner can. So I use a variety of different chlorine enhancers on my pool route, depending on the pool size, the customer, things like that. So there are many that you can use. The very basic one you can use is using a phosphate remover and an enzyme in your pool. This will enhance the chlorine. Number one, the phosphate remover, if you add a maintenance dose every week to your pool, this will eliminate the food for algae. So it's actually one of the easiest enhancers to use. And then along with the phosphate remover every week, putting an enzyme in the pool is also a great way to enhance the chlorine. An enzyme will help break down the oils in the pool, increase the pool's filtration, and also break down the inorganic material in the pool, which will make the chlorine a lot more effective, because the chlorine won't be working harder to break these things down. And same with the phosphate remover, it's going to allow the chlorine to be more effective in the pool. And if the chlorine is more effective in the pool, you won't need to be using a lot of tablets in the pool to keep the chlorine level stable, because there's not going to be a lot of things affecting the chlorine level, bringing it down. So if you eliminate any of the microalgae in the pool by using the phosphate remover, and if you allow the chlorine not to work as hard as it needs to by adding an enzyme in the pool, you're actually increasing the chlorine's effectiveness, which means that you can reduce the amount of tablets you're going to be using in your pool every week. So that's probably the easiest enhancer combination that you can use to keep your tablet use down, so that you're not adding tons of tablets to your pool all season long. The other enhancer that I like to use is called the Pool RX, and this is a really great way to really allow the chlorine to be much more effective in your pool. And it does very similar things to your pool that the enzyme and phosphate remover will do. It'll make the chlorine much more effective by eliminating the microalgae in the pool. And by doing this, you won't have to use as much chlorine, because the chlorine won't be used up fighting this microalgae in the pool. And therefore, the chlorine level will hold a lot longer and be a lot stronger. And so you'll use less tablets with the Pool RX in the pool. It's a one-time thing, usually for the season. You put it in your skimmer or pump basket, and it should last you the entire season. And it's a really effective way to enhance the chlorine in your pool. And I also like to use borates in certain pools on my route. And this is a great way to definitely reduce the amount of chlorine you're going to use every week also, because the borate is a natural algistat, which means that it breaks down, it keeps the algae from actually forming. And so it's a great enhancer also, because with the borate in the pool, it also buffers the pH in the pool, so that the pH is not going to jump really high. And so if the pH is staying pretty stable at the ideal range in the pool, this also makes the chlorine more effective, because chlorine is more effective in the ideal pH range than with a pool with high pH. So the borates kind of do two things to the water. They keep the pH from jumping or moving up rapidly, and they also keep algae out of the pool, because the borate product is a natural algistat, which is something that prevents algae from forming. And you don't need to use a combination of these enhancers. You can use one or the other. So if you're using the phosphate and enzyme, you don't need the PolarX. If you're using the PolarX, you won't need the phosphate and enzyme in most cases. And if you're using borates in your pool, you won't need the other products in your pool. So these are all pretty much standalone enhancers for your pool. And you can research them and choose the one that you prefer to use in your pool. And I recommend them because they will allow you to use less tablets, thereby eliminating the problem of very high cyanuric acid in the pool. And also, this will keep you from having to drain the pool every season and also prevent a lot of the problems that happen with having high cyanuric acid in your pool. I know I spent a long time on that part of it, but I think getting your pool ready for the start of the season, you'll need to consider a way to maintain it to where you're not causing poor water quality by the method you're choosing. So if you're strictly using 3-inch trichlor tablets, think about the enhancers and using less of them and supplementing it with Calhypo or liquid chlorine to prevent the CYA level from really increasing in the pool. And if you're having problems at the very beginning of the season with the water quality, again, double check to make sure the filter is running well and also the pump runtime. I know a lot of customers have variable speed pumps, and a lot of them don't run the variable speed pumps correctly. So the reason why you have a variable speed pump is that you can run it longer and save energy, and not that you can run it less and at lower RPMs to save even more energy, if that makes sense. So typically, my pool is about 14,000 gallons, and I run my VS pump in the summertime on a low speed, 1800 RPMs for about 8 or 10 hours a day, and then I boost it up to a higher RPM, not a significantly high RPM, but around 2600 RPMs, and I run that for about 6 hours a day. And so my pool is running about my pump is running about 16 hours a day, and when I had my standard 1.5 horsepower pump on there, I was running it about 5 hours a day in the summer, 6 hours a day in the summer. So I'm running it a lot longer, but at a lower speed. And so if you have customers, or if you have a variable speed pump, and you're running it at a too low of an RPM for too short of a period of time in the summer, it's going to really come out in the water quality of the pool. And so you want to make sure that you boost up the runtime of your variable speed pump to kind of compensate for that. And so in the minimum, you want to run your high speed 6 hours a day. Maybe 8 or 10 hours a day would be more appropriate in most areas. And then keep the low speed running as long as you can to keep the water circulating. So 10, 12, 14 hours a day at 1800 RPMs is not going to cost you a lot of money. At that speed, it's basically only producing about 120 watts of power, which is like having two 65 watt light bulbs running in your house during the day. So compare that to a standard 1.5 or 2 horsepower pump. It's like having 1,800 watt light bulbs on. You can see that the energy savings on the variable speed pump really is great to begin with. So there's no reason not to run your variable speed pump for a longer period of time. The longer you run your VS pump, the better the actual water quality of the pool is going to be in the long run. And even if you're running your VS pump at 2,600 RPMs for 8 hours a day, that's still a substantial savings over running your standard speed pump. So I think a lot of people get the idea that now they have a variable speed pump, they're going to run the pump as long as they ran their standard pump. And that's just not true, because your standard pump running 8 or 10 hours a day was using a lot more electricity, and it was moving the water a lot faster in your pool than the variable speed pump is moving it. And so you need to run your variable speed pump longer to compensate for the reduction in the speed of the pump. The energy savings is still going to be built in to the actual variable speed pump just by the nature of how it works, but you're going to have to run that variable speed pump a lot longer than you think to get the same circulation of a standard speed pump. So if you are just new to a variable speed pump and you just had it installed, you definitely want to make sure you're running it the proper amount of time, and you'll know right away by the water quality. The water will get cloudy, the chlorine won't hold in the pool, and you may get algae developing, and that's a good indicator that your pump is not running long enough, especially when the outdoor temperature is 90 or 100 degrees and the water temperature is in the 80s. You really want to run your pump a longer period of time. And if you have a standard pump and you're trying to save energy, cutting back in the peak of summer is probably not the most wisest thing to do. So you want to run your pump as much as you can during the summer months. And the water quality, again, will be the judge of if your pump is running too little or if you don't have the pump set to run long enough. In the summertime, you're going to see cloudy water, algae, and you're also going to have a lot of problems with the chlorine not holding properly in the pool. So the runtime is really critical during the season. So you want to set everything up so that by May, everything is running at the proper amount of time so that the water circulates properly. And if you do notice that you're having an algae problem already, and it's just beginning of the summer, it's late April, early May, then you definitely want to address it by checking. Again, the filtration is a key factor to make sure everything's running properly there. If you have a sand filter and you haven't changed the sand in a long time, you may have to do that to get everything running properly. And in Dean, cartridge filters are pretty easy to change out the filter elements in those. And the pool's runtime, of course, I just talked about how important that is for the water quality. And then I spent a long time talking about the water chemistry of your pool, specifically high cyanuric acid levels to start the season, which could make it more difficult to maintain the pool during the whole season. If you're already having trouble at the beginning, it's got to be one of those three issues that's starting. Either the pool's not running long enough, the filtration's not working properly, or you may have an imbalance in the chemistry of the water, too much cyanuric acid or too little cyanuric acid. And if your water hasn't been drained in several years, you may want to drain it anyway to start with fresh water, because in a lot of cases, there's something called total dissolved solids, and I don't talk about it too often, and it's not talked about much in the industry. But typically, if the pool is really old and the water hasn't been changed in a long time, a lot of the things in the water do not evaporate out, and this builds up in the water. Salt is one of the elements in TDS, and so if you don't have a saltwater pool, you could still build up a lot of salt in your pool regardless, and this, of course, will interfere with your chemistry. So if the water is old and you're having a lot of weird chemistry issues with it, I would suggest getting your total dissolved solids tested at your local pool store, and they can tell you what the level is. And if it's too high, you'll have to drain your pool down and start with fresh water. And it's not uncommon for really old pools to have very high total dissolved solids in them. And I hate to make this sound like a cure-all, but actually draining your pool down and starting with fresh water definitely takes care of a lot of problems with your pool. And so if you have to do that, it's not the end of the world. It's actually good for your pool in a lot of cases to start over. You'll reduce your total dissolved solids. You're going to reduce your calcium hardness level by draining your pool down. You'll get rid of all the cyanuric acid in the pool and start pretty fresh at the beginning of the season. So if you have to drain your pool down at the beginning of the season, it may actually be a blessing to you, because you're going to have a lot less water quality issues during the season. And if you had a problem last season with your pool getting a lot of algae in it, being cloudy, having a lot of issues, draining it down would not be a bad idea to start the season, and that way you start with fresh water and everything starts over again. Definitely would recommend that if you were having problems last season with your pool, that it may be something you want to do this season to start off fresh. And if you need more resources for your pool care, definitely check out my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. I have a lot of resources for you there, and I have an ebook available for $9.99. And if you do service for a living and you're looking for more help with your business, definitely check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. And for $10 a month, you can text me. And for $20 a month, you can call me in real time. Plus, there's a lot of great benefits and discounts there as being part of the group. And you can learn more about that at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, Everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.